Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and we have a grateful show planned for you tonight. We are certainly looking forward to this show, and I trust that you all are as well. All right, let me just do a little housekeeping right now. And I want to start out by just saying we had a Friday night show. It was very good. It was a very good show. It talks about when you lose faith, when you lose faith. So if you want to go back in, you can go into the archives and listen to Friday night's show. I think that you will find it to be a blessing. So please, please, I'm encouraging all of you all to please go in and listen to Friday night's show. You can just simply go to drjwalker.com. The letter J, Dr. J Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R.com. Tune in to the show, and I guarantee you, you will be glad that you did. Tonight, our topic is getting trapped. We're scheduled to have a young man on by the name of Ishmael. He goes by AKA Black Cowboy. So we're certainly looking forward to tonight's broadcast. He will be on the air, and we're talking tonight about getting trapped. When you do come on, log in, we're going to ask that you log in and that you press 1 on your dial. This will, of course, give you an opportunity to speak to the co-host or to me, if you should have a question. We're going to get ready to go to the story shortly, but before I do, I want to go ahead and bring in my featured guest for the evening. And he's going to tell you a little bit about himself and how he came up with this topic. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Ishmael, a.k.a. Black Cowboy. Black Cowboy, go ahead. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Why don't you say hello to our listening audience and tell us what it is that you do and how you do it.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. How's everybody doing? My name's Ishmael, a.k.a. Black Cowboy. Was born and raised in Miami. Now I'm down here in Lakeland, Florida. And it's an honor to be on the Dr. Walker Show. It really is, because this is actually one of the first shows I've been on so far. I'm 20 years old. What made me think of the thought of getting trapped was that I'm the only male of my family. I have 3 sisters and 1 mom. And there's a lot that I get trapped in, because I got to fight a lot of battles, basically, and sometimes I can't find my way out. There's no exits. It's just 4 walls, and there's a lot in life people getting trapped. Yeah, so I just want to talk about it today. I just want to talk about getting trapped today.
All right. Well, that's great. You're saying that this is the first show that you've been on. I am certain that after tonight's broadcast, this will not be the last show. This will be only the beginning of the show, a number of shows that are forthcoming. So we certainly look forward to that.
Thank you very much.
Certainly. And when you talk about getting trapped, because we have a storyline tonight, which we'll get into momentarily, but when you talk about getting trapped, that can almost tie into just about any and everything. So for you, I heard you say that you live in a house with you have 3 sisters, I believe you said, and one mother.
Yes, sir.
So how does that make you feel trapped, if at all?
Well, there's a lot that I can defend myself, and there's a lot that I can't. One thing is that, you know, they usually have these girls' night out, you know, and that leaves me behind, you know. So sometimes as the only male, I feel like I can't fit in, you know. I don't have a brother. My father's not around. So it's like, dang it. What can I do, you know? So me trying to go out with friends, my mom attacks me saying, hey, you can't make friends. Friends aren't good. This might happen. People are dying. People are getting shot. The streets are crazy. So therefore, I don't have a choice but to stay home, and I'm trapped in my room, you know. So, yes, sir.
Okay. So now let me ask you this question then. I can certainly appreciate what you're saying. Getting trapped, in this case, you feel so confined. You are 20. Are there some things that you could do that would be rational to your mother, whom obviously you love a lot and you have a great deal of respect for her? I mean, that she's willing to listen to reason for you as a 20-year-old in terms of making your own decisions.
I've broken down a lot for my mom and my sisters, too. I explained to them, hey, I'm an adult. This is what's going on. I'm a male, and things aren't going to be the same because I'm not a child anymore. My life is in the starting point where I'm going to have to take care of myself and pay bills. So originally, I wanted to do law enforcement when I was, ever since I was about 4 or 5, I always wanted to be a cop. And it's, you know, I still have a heart for a cop, but, you know, cops nowadays are making it harder for this generation to even want to be a cop or become a cop safely. So I had to transition into comedy, and that's when my Instagram page came intact. I started doing voice impressions. I started collaborating with people who has millions of followers. They like me. And, yeah, I kind of fell off because I moved away from Miami, and that was kind of like another heartbreaking moment for me because I'm getting even more trapped, you know, because Miami, I was already trapped, but I had collaborations to do with other people. Moving down to Lakeland, I don't know anybody, so now I'm really stuck. I'm trapped. So my parents understand. Huh?
No, go ahead. Your parents understand.
So, yeah, my mom, she accepts that I can do videos, you know, because it's basically the safest thing she sees in her eyes. And, yeah, acting is my passion for now in my career. Go.
Wow. Let me ask you, Black Cowboy, I heard you say that you're an adult, but it seems to be that your mother still has a strong influence on you. Apparently, you're still living under your mother's roof. Is that fair to say?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so why not just venture out to college or vocational, somewhere where you can get in school, I mean, assuming that you're not, where you can get in school and get involved and meet some friends right there, even in Lakeland, or make an application to go to college.
Yeah, I started doing that, but I haven't really gotten to college yet. I'm taking a gap year, but I have met a lot of good people on social media who wants to collaborate with me. I made a few friends, you know. It's just I'm growing into the social life out here, you know. So I made a few friends out here. It's not easy for me to move around because in Lakeland, Florida, believe it or not, there's not much bus transportation because sometimes I borrow my sister's car, but she has work in the mornings, and nighttime is obviously not a time people want to hang out and linger. So, yeah,
I certainly understand that. But I'm thinking that we all make choices in life, and as a 20-year-old, I mean, at 21, you have people who buy homes at 21. I mean, you have your life. I mean, you talk about getting trapped tonight, and we're going to go to the storyline just shortly, but you have so much ahead of you if you just realize that the confinement is maybe your trap, you're calling getting trapped, is maybe what you're allowing yourself to be caught up into. Let me just take this commercial break. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can call in at 347-857-1769. You can also listen online live at Dr. J, the letter J, drjwalker.com. Our featured guest for the evening is Ishmael, a.k.a. Black Cowboy. So let me go back to you now and ask this question. I mean, you got universities, colleges, you got community colleges. I mean, you got New York, colleges out there. You've got Florida, right here where you are in Florida. You've got Florida State, University of Florida, FAMU. I mean, there's so much opportunity, and I don't know what your mom's financial situation is. Well, actually, you now, because you're an adult. But you, I see you on campus, and I've met you personally. With your personality, you will not have a problem meeting friends. I mean, are you – I got to ask this question because it applied to me. I can relate to it. I was a mama's boy, and I didn't realize I was a mama's boy. I was always stuck up under my mom's wings, and which made me feel like I was trapped. But I didn't realize that I was confining myself when I reached a certain age. Are you a mama's boy?
I am 100% a mama's boy. 100, okay. 1,000, 1,000,000% a mama's boy. Right. I love my mom too much. Yeah, my mom been through too much. I would hate to like leave her behind, but unfortunately she wants me to, but I can't, I just can't find it in my heart yet. It's just, this is tough.
My mom's my little wife. Yeah, without those extra things, of course. And you know, the thing is, you know, but at 20, you need to discover, would you say that you need to discover life for yourself?
Yeah, I've discovered a lot about life, actually. I mean, there's obviously a lot to be discovered more in throughout the future. But, you know, I've discovered a lot that teamwork is a key, especially throughout what I want to do, which is social media and acting. Teamwork is something that is big. And you got to stick with people because people help you. And there's, like, a lot of connections they have. And you go off each other. I don't know if that answered your question, but...
Well, I think it does a good job of going in that direction. But, I mean, 20 years old, you know how, I mean, I just can't even imagine being trapped at 20 years old. I mean, having been a mama's boy myself, I remember the conversation quite well when I shared with my mom, you know, I had to have a conversation with her. Mom, I got to cut the umbilical cord. I've got to cut this cord, Mom, because I need to find out what life is for myself. I've got to get out there. And, you know, the only way that I'm going to be able to do this is really find out what life is for myself. You know, I can go with the lessons that you taught me in life. And let me tell you, at 17, I took my first plane ride with money I had worked and saved. And graduating from high school, at 17, I took my first plane ride, and my mother didn't want me to go. And that was the first step in cutting the umbilical cord. And from that point, I was going ever since. And I, you know, with my mother's blessings later, you know, once she realized that, hey, he's got to live his own life. So, Black Cowboy, we're going to ask you to stand by momentarily because, I mean, at some point, I think your mother wants you to live your own life. Is she listening to the broadcast tonight?
She might be. I'm outside right now in the car where it's very quiet, so.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, after this show airs, you can have her go into the website at drjwalker.com, no period after the DR, drjwalker.com. She can listen to this broadcast in its entirety, you know, after we get off the air. So I think that she'll find it pretty interesting. I hope so anyway, for your sake. Let me go to Visit Tonight's story, and I welcome comments from all of those who are listening as well. And if you want to speak to the issue tonight, if you have a question for me or my featured guest, please press 1. All right, let me go and begin tonight's story. Tonight's characters are Maurice and Nelda. These are the characters in tonight's story. Nelda and Maurice, they dated for 2 years before they actually decided to get married. They're both 22 years old, Actually 2 years older than our featured guest for the evening. They're 22 years old and are in their second year of college, struggling to make it through. Maurice has recently dropped out of college because he has become bored with it. Everything was going quite well during the dating stages, but Nelda never saw this coming, where Maurice would give up, where he dropped out of college. Their issues at the time were minimal compared to other people's issues. Nevertheless, this did not stop them from getting married. Now, Nelda did have some reservations about marriage because she was uncertain about a few things, which included the following as they relate to her feelings of getting trapped. Now, number one, she felt that Maurice was a sort of player or playboy. This is what she felt about Maurice, that, yeah, he was just this player. So this was a challenge for her, right? Now we move on to number two. Maurice appeared to have himself together with dreams of going to college and making something of himself, which was impressive to Nelda because this is what he showed during the dating stages. But later, he dropped out, and he had no future goals in mind. Number three, Maurice appears to have retracted back to his old lifestyle and coming home late with no valid excuses and seemed to have women's cologne on him. Number four, he appears to disrespect Nelda, and he acts as though he does not care about her anymore. Number five, Maurice's behavior has recently changed as he recently started drinking on a casual basis. Number six, there are several other things that Maurice has started doing which are not pleasing to Nelda, who appears to be confused at this time and wonders what is going on with her husband, whom she loves very much. You know, in tonight's questions, you know, one of them I want to bring out here. With all this going on, Nelda feels trapped into a marriage. She actually now feels trapped into a marriage with a man whom she feels has made a drastic change in the person whom she once dated and fell desperately in love with. So, Black Cowboy, I've got to go to this question. Can a person, assuming that you're not married, but do you think that it's fair that a person make such a drastic change like Maurice did after getting married to this woman?
I don't really get the question. Could you repeat the question again?
All right. Do you feel that Maurice made such a drastic change? Do you think that that's fair to Nelda, you know, that he made these drastic changes after, you know, being married to her when she didn't, he wasn't like that before he was married? Do you think it's fair to her?
Well, I don't think it's fair, but on his side, people do change. I mean,
right.
Not everything's going to be the same forever, you know? So, like, I understand where she's coming from, but she got to understand that she got to expect some type of, you know, draft or some type of, something to happen throughout, you know, their lives while their marriage is going on. So, I'm not married, but, you know, that's something I'd expect, some change or some difficulty, and I'd be prepared for it or try to be prepared for it.
Right. Okay, well, yeah. So also, if you all want to make a comment out there, you can press 1. We would love to hear from you all if you want to speak to the story, or you can also send in your comments. We would certainly welcome those comments as well. You know, I'm going to give a thought on that. I agree with what you said, that people do change. They really, really do change. Sometimes it's a change for the better. Sometimes it's a change for the worse, because sometimes these changes can make a person confused when they met you one way and then you make some drastic changes. Now, there are changes that people can make, but when you make a drastic change, a change that somebody didn't see coming, almost like a lifestyle change, it can take a person into shock. It really can. And that person may not feel comfortable about the change. And it can affect them for such a long period of time that they're confused, like in the case with Nelda. She's confused right now and wonders what is going on with her husband, the man who she doesn't know this about, you know, because he's made such a drastic change. So I say, yes, people can change. And the question becomes, in a marriage, are you willing to accept those changes? Before you do anything in terms of making a drastic decision, I say to my listening audience, if this has happened to you, before you do anything like making a drastic decision about a change that your significant other or your spouse has made, give it some time. Give it some time to see if you can actually live with that change. If it's nothing that's causing you to compromise your morals, your values, if it's not physical or mental abuse, then I think that's something that you want to think about. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to Tennessee, 978-227. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live.
Hi, Dr. Walker. It's Ms. Shirley. How are you?
We're doing well, Ms. Shirley. Thank you for joining us. Ms. Shirley, give us your take on that. I mean, when somebody makes a drastic change, particularly in a marriage.
Well, I didn't really hear the story about the change, but to hear what you just said, making a drastic change in a marriage. Now, that happened in my marriage. However, the drastic change was that I became saved. I accepted the Lord into my life, and my life totally changed. Now, my spouse didn't like that at all because I was a totally different person. And I think my kids kind of looked at it in a different way as well because I had totally changed. And there was, it wasn't something planned. It wasn't something that was there before. It was something that had happened. My life was in some type of a shamble. And I felt like, you know, well, maybe I'll try God. And when I did, my life changed. So I don't know really what your story was about, but I did hear what you said about a drastic change and how it affects your marriage. And that's something that happened in mine.
Okay. I'm going to revisit just a certain part of that story tonight. Where the drastic change comes from, the characters, Maurice and Nelda. Maurice was sort of a player or a playboy, and but he made promises to actually tell his wife, you know, during the marriage that he would not, he wouldn't disrespect her, and he would be with her and give up all of this that playboy lifestyle. He also appeared to have himself together, but he ended up, you know, his dreams were to go to college, but after marriage, 2 years of college, he dropped out. And his wife never saw that coming. He did start retracting back. He retracted back to his old lifestyle of actually getting out there with women. And he would come home late with no valid excuse. And he acted also like he didn't care about his wife anymore because he enjoyed that lifestyle so much. His behavior recently changed. He started drinking occasionally, which is something that he never did. You know, so these are what I call drastic changes. So, Ms. Shirley, does that warrant, though, a person? You know, you say there were changes in your marriage, but this appeared favorable for you because you found, you know, you turned to God. But here's a situation where his doesn't sound anywhere close to, like, building a relationship with God. I mean, not that I'm being judgmental here, but what are your thoughts? I mean, would that sort of change warrant Nelda to leave her husband?
Well, well, it's hard to say because some people, even though changes have taken place, they feel they may feel that they can work it out. And, maybe they can deal with something or maybe, you know, if they work on it, that things will change. That's about the best I can answer that.
Right, and I certainly do understand that. Let's bring Black Cowboy back in. And Black Cowboy, if it were you in let's say in that, if you're dating a girl, let's just say, and you're not married to her, and she makes drastic changes and she starts acting like she doesn't care about you anymore, what, if anything, would you do differently?
Well, I like to first start off, I'm so glad that she came. I don't know how she is, but I'm so glad that she came in here and said that, because I was going to say, these two people are actually, they're not far from my age and they're young. So him being the player in the past, he's still young and he had the marriage, but at the end of the day, I feel like he's still finding himself, you know. But on her side, she feels like, what am I doing wrong? Like, what did I do wrong? Is it that I do something wrong? And it might not really be her. It might be really him still searching for who he wants to be and how he wants to live his life. Since in that my situation, I'd be him, you know. I'd be like, okay, maybe she's finding herself, you know. I don't know. And I'd also be thinking, like, well, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? Did I say something? You know, all these questions come to mind.
Okay. You know, and I think that's a normal reaction where people start to question themselves and wondering, what did I do wrong? But I think at some point, I think it's only fair to you as an individual to answer that question after you do some self evaluation, to begin to ask yourself, say, well, did I do anything wrong? Have I been doing what they've asked of me? Have I been selfish? What is it that my significant other has been saying about me that perhaps I'm not seeing in and of myself? And if that be the case, you know, what is marriage? Is marriage of such that, you know, it's supposed to be you're submissive to each other? You know, I think self-evaluation is very important. And then you part of the self-evaluation is your individualized component. Your individualization is, what do I need to do for my happiness? What do I need to do to make me feel, you know, self-actualized? What do I need to do as we go through the transformations of life? You know, am I doing something that someone else wants me to do, or am I now doing something that I want to do? So I think that's part of the self-evaluation. And as you said, like, I was finding yourself. But I think we have to be careful. Yeah, I think we have to be very careful, because now that, and they're very young, 22.
Yeah, that's what I said, finding.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, at the end of the day, yeah, they're young, but he also took it upon himself to make that promise. And, you know, you can't go back on your promise, man, you know, and do otherwise, because that's what an oath is in marriage. You know, you make your oath. It's like you can't join the military, do what, you know, your major tells you to do.
Right.
There's rules and there's regulations. You got to follow it. If you can't follow it, you're not fit for it. You know?
Well,
that's
absolutely
how I feel. You're not
absolutely
fit for it. See, I'm not one to sit around and do something bad and make somebody else feel bad. You know, I'd rather I feel bad instead of that individual being hurt because of my actions or my feelings. You know, like, he made that promise. And I would understand why she's feeling like that, because that promise was very important to her, because that marriage is not a part-time job. It's a full-time job, you know, and there's a lot of maintenance you need to do, a lot.
Yeah, there is. There is a lot of maintenance that you have to do, a lot of adjustments, a lot of compromising, all of that stuff. It's the most vital decision that, you're not there yet, but I can tell you this, and I'm sure Ms. Shirley can vouch for this, it's the most important decision that one of two of the most important decisions that you'll ever make in life. One is
a full-time job.
It's a personal service. You know, even so, a job is not even as important as that decision it is to get married. Accepting Christ as your personal Savior, and then the mate, the lifetime partner that you commit to, that you, you know, say those, utter those vows to before God. That's the most important thing. Now, I do want to say this here, and Ms. Shirley, we're going to bring you in Can you vouch for that? That your relationship with God establishing that, and then the other part is marriage as the most important decision that you'll make in life outside of accepting Christ. Would you agree with that?
Yes, it is. I do agree with that. Once you know, when you God is first in everything,
uh-huh.
and then your marriage is next. You know, it comes, it trumps the children. It does.
Yeah,
you know, so even with your children, you have to put them after your marriage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you have children and you get married, that your marriage comes after, you know, the
sure.
after God
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
I agree. I want to say this because I'm going to pose a question to myself that Nelda may be pondering. You know, she's in a state of confusion right now because of the drastic changes that her husband has made. And
right.
I would say to her, if she came to me for counseling, I'd say, you know what? Make certain that you're doing everything within that marriage that you're supposed
mm-hmm.
to be doing, that you're committed to do, that you're
mm-hmm.
obligated to do, that you as a wife, and if it were vice versa, as a husband, you do your full part to the fullest and beyond, whatever that beyond means, because sometimes there are things that we don't know. So, but you go overboard, looking as if you're pleasing God, not the spouse, but look the
right.
first, you know, if you look and you say, well, my mission now here is to please God, first and foremost, in this marriage, but submitting yourself also to your spouse. I'm talking about men and women now.
Yeah.
And then when you've done everything that you can, and this person, after time, after you feel that your cup has run over, and only you will know that, only you will know that. You've done all of the praying, you've done all of the fasting, you've
mm-hmm.
sought God out. Now, the one thing I've learned in life, God will not impose his will on anyone. So if Nelda's over there praying for her husband to change his ways, you know, and the husband does not desire to change his ways, I don't see God imposing his will on that man when this is what he wants. You know, so Nelda can be praying for 20 years. But if that man, I mean, I know that you know, I would be praying as Nelda to say, God, give me peace within to
yes.
cope with this. Give me,
mm-hmm.
guide me, direct me. And if Nelda came to me and she had several sessions with me and she's willing to listen and go the course of time, and then when she comes to me, she says, Dr. Walker, I felt like I've done the fasting, I've done the praying, I've been a submissive wife, you know, I've done my part, but he's not even trying. Then she says, I don't know what else to do. And at her young age, let's say she turns 24 in 2 years, and, you know, I mean, now she's 24 and she's still going through this. I say, you know what? I've asked her this question. And before I ask her that question, Ms. Shirley, I got to ask, I want to bring some other wisdom in here. And Ms. Shirley, let me ask you, what would you tell her, if anything?
I would tell her what you just said and make sure that she has done everything she's supposed to do as the wife, you know, and God will. He will give you peace in the midst of that and let you know. God will let you know, even though she may come to you and say, you know, I've done everything I can and I just can't take it anymore. She will have that peace. God will give you a peace when things need to change, okay? And so when things aren't working like they should in a marriage, God will give you that peace to for those things to change, and you just know it. You'll just know it, and you will have peace about it.
All right. Now, Michelle, I got to ask you this before I bring Black Cowboy in, and before I'm going to give my opinion shortly, but
mm-hmm.
let's just say, because she's so young, you
mm-hmm.
know, and we know what the Bible says, you know, about marriage and that your first one should be your only one,
mm-hmm.
You know, unless there's reason, adultery, something along those lines where God gives you reason to believe it. Would you say, at what point would you tell her to maybe let it go, give him the gift of goodbye, if at all?
I probably wouldn't tell her to, you know, when to let it go. I couldn't tell anyone that to say, you know what, let it go, girl, it's not going to work. I can't do that, but I would tell her to give it all she has, and even though she'll try to do that, she will do as best she can, and like you had said before, praying about it, you know, putting it before the Lord. Once she does that, and I'm telling you, when it's time, if things don't change, God's not going to have you stay in a place where you're not being treated like you need to be. He's not going to have any of his people, male or female, in situations where you're not being treated like you need to be. Okay?
Right. So, like Cowboy, let's say you're 45. Let's up your age by 25 years, and now you've got a daughter that's 22 years old, this young lady, now turned even 24. Would you want your daughter to go through that, Black Cowboy?
All right. If I was 45, I'd just tell my daughter, I'd be, honestly, no and yes, because...
Wait a minute, which is it now?
Well,
you're confusing me. Is it yes or no?
Could you say that again?
I mean, you say no, but yes. So, I mean,
no.
Which one is it?
Well, no. But if she asked me for advice, what I would do, I'd honestly say you guys should actually, take a break and give yourself time to pray about it. A break could help because, I'm going with a saying that says, you never know what you got until you lose it. Maybe they just need a little break or something. I wouldn't like her to go through that, but she is an adult and decision has to be made through her,
Can I just say
this? Because I want to ask you, if it's your son or daughter, Miss Shirley, I mean, really, your son or daughter, they have no children. And you have no grandchildren, but you want grandchildren eventually. And you see what your son or daughter is dealing with. Ms. Shirley, in your honest opinion, what would you tell them?
That it will be her decision. That's my honest opinion.
Yes.
What I was going to say is when you try to tell people things to do and they take your word for it and they feel like, okay, well, this is what, my parent told me or an older person because they look to you like having the experience and knowing what you're talking about. And then they do it. And then at some point, they get back together. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So I would never, you have to follow your own heart, but I'm always here for you. That's what I would tell my child. I'm here for you, whatever you need, I'm here for you. But I would not tell you leave your spouse or, don't leave your wife, don't leave your husband. I wouldn't tell you that because of what you're going through. Because you might work it out later on, and then you look back at me and say, wow, Mom told me, to leave, and what would have happened if I had left? Now he's okay, or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, but now the question comes, we don't know. We don't have a crystal ball, but, when you look at it, and you're right, people can make changes. Things do happen. Things do happen. I must be from a different planet or something because I just don't believe in. I am, from a different planet because I just don't see wasting. If I have two daughters and if they come to me, then I've asked them one question, and the question that I've asked you all, and I can almost tell you what my daughters would say. Because it's the way that I've trained them in making decisions, not necessarily making decisions based on the heart, because the heart is deceptive. You follow your heart, it can sometimes, I think, lead you wrong. That's the passion, and that's what people end up getting mad because they're following their heart, that feeling, when sometimes it mm-hmm. doesn't make sense. But if you follow the logic and rationale, then that will minimize your making errors. My daughters, my two daughters, I believe, you know, at least one of them probably, if not both, are likely, I'd ask them the one question. What would you want if you have a daughter, particularly at that age,
mm-hmm.
would you want your daughter to go through that? And whatever answer they give, that's the answer that they're likely to make. And I can tell you, mm-hmm. my daughters would say, Dad, no, I do not want my daughters to go through that. I would not want my sons to go through that. And then
mm-hmm.
I'd leave it at that. I wouldn't tell them, you know, anything. I would leave it at that. And I know, because they know how I've trained them, that's the answer. That when you go to the root of it, of how much you care for your child, you know, then you should also have the best. And my daughters would more than likely, if not one of them, if not both, will make a decision based on that. If I don't want my child to go through it, why would I go through it? Black Cowboy, would you want your mother to go through that?
No, but I agree with what she was saying. I wouldn't be involved into it because you never know what happens. If they end up breaking up, like, oh, look what you did. I listened to you and this happened. You know, a lot could flip around on you getting into the, you know.
No, I agree with that.
Process.
I agree with that, but I'm asking you the question. Would you want your mother to go through that? Remember, Nelda's done the fasting. She's done the praying. And now I'm asking you, your mother's done the fasting. She's done the praying. She's dating this guy that's not your father, chances are. Would you want her to go through that, Black Cowboy?
No, sir. No, I'm throwing hands. I'm either praying or I'm throwing hands. Oh, my God.
Okay.
No, I can't even imagine it. I don't want to imagine that.
That's what I'm saying. Now, to see your mother cry and she's in pain and she's hurt, Miss Shirley, come on. To see your child, Miss Shirley.
I feel it still will be their ultimate decision. No, I wouldn't want my child going through anything like that. But
mm-hmm.
it's still their decision.
And I'm
not
going to
say they leave it, not unless, you know, this person is beating the stew out of them.
Right.
You know, and they're constantly at each other like that. Then
yeah.
I would say you need it because that's horrible, you know. That's something that, you know, you can get drastically hurt in something like that. But if he's back and not coming home and not showing up, no, I don't want her hurting like that. But it will be her decision to leave him, not mine for her.
Right. And I can tell you, I mean, not everybody's the same. I'm probably an unconventional parent. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to see my child suffering. And I know that God is
yes.
our father, our ultimate parent. God doesn't want
mm-hmm.
to see us suffering like that. That's not his intent. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to ask you to hold on. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to go to 786-489. You're on the show live. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Hello? You talking to me?
Yes. Yes, we are. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Oh, this is Stephen.
Stephen, thank
you
for joining us, Stephen. We're doing great. You know, we got a couple, Stephen, and tonight's topic is getting trapped. This girl is heartbroken by the drastic change that her husband's made. She's only 22. And the part that you've heard, what would you tell your son or daughter if this were them?
Well, you got to look at, you know, there's a lot of traps out there, you know, and I've been in some traps myself back in the day. And you let them make their own decision because, see, you don't, like somebody said, you don't want them to come back and say, well, I told you so. You give them some of your experiences, and that's what people can give. You can give your experiences. You pray with them. You look into God's word, and then you come to them and say, hey, I gave you my experience. We looked at God's word, and you let them make their decision, and hopefully they saw enough in what was said from your experience or maybe someone else's, God's word, and they can make a confident decision to make, and what you want is for them to make their own decisions. You don't want to influence them. You want to make them make, because they come back, like the lady said, and say, whoa, I did this counseling, you said this and that, and you don't want that to happen. You know, you do not want that to happen. And the ultimate thing, you want them to make their own decision from whatever you've explained to them, whatever they've read in the Bible, and whatever situation it be as far as being trapped. Because, see, people are manipulative. They're manipulative, and if they got a particular agenda, they're going to do whatever you can. And basically, like, from my experience, a woman entrapment, you know, because she see I got something going on, I got the degree, I got this, I got a good job. She see the house, she see the car. Oh, she sees herself in that situation. You know, in order to get that, she's going to do whatever he can. Because I've known brothers, women have gotten them pregnant. They've gotten pregnant behind that. And that's what you call the major entrapment. You know,
yes.
You got pregnant from the situation, and then you got a child. So for all practical purposes, you have to be with that person, you know, the rest of your life, whether you're married to them or not, if you're any kind of man, to take care of your responsibility of a child. And that's been going on for decades, man, you know. And they because they desperately want you, or they feel they're in love, and they got to have you by any means necessary. Entrapment.
Right.
You entrap then. You get somebody that possessed with you.
Right. Well, that's, you know, Stephen, that is a very interesting thought. And, you know, I don't know. I just I can't see. I mean, I kind of have a feeling of knowing my daughters and knowing my sons, and at that young age, I can't see my kids suffering for a long period of time after they've given their all. When their cup runs over, I almost feel with confidence my kids will make the decision in their best interest. And they will likely, they will likely pull out of that. They will likely pull, I'm almost certain that my kids will pull up out of that. Now, let me ask you, Stephen, just let me go to you. Stephen, if you were this 20-year-old, and let's say if it's your wife, I know our story talks about the husband, but if it was your wife that made such a drastic change where, I mean, she's coming in late and, I mean, no valid reason, and all of a sudden now she starts drinking occasionally where she never drank before, and you've done all your praying and your fasting, Steve, what would you do? You're 22 years old, I'm sorry, 22. What would you do, Steve?
I would see if she want to get help. And if she don't want to get help, then I would have to find out what she's doing. I don't care if I had to get a private eye agent to follow her to see what she's doing. And if I found that she was cheating on me, which is a you know, death, and cheating is a grounds for divorce, she'd be gone. I wouldn't deal with it. I'm not dealing with somebody that would cheat on me being unfaithful.
Right.
Right.
You know,
and
those
you know, I'm going to go even further than that. I know I'm from a different planet. And Miss Shirley, I'm going to say, and I'm not trying to influence my cowboy here, but anybody else for that matter. But I can tell you what, even if she's not cheating, and she just made this drastic change like that, and I done went 2 years trying to hold on to the marriage, and she's just not meeting me that way, because every person has free will. They have free will. She's probably enjoying that. You know, she's probably enjoying that. And let me tell you something. You're enjoying it like that, then you need to be enjoying that without me, so I can move on to enjoy me without you. And I would listen, I would bail out of that and be so thankful that I bailed out of that at such a young age. Because I'm going to tell you something. You don't only spend 2 years of your life with this person who made these drastic changes, even if they're not cheating. You know, I don't have the time or the, well, I don't, even if I had the money, I'm not getting ready to hire no private investigator. Well, Stephen, that's just me, and I respect your opinion. But I'm not getting ready to hire nobody to go spend some extra money on you wondering what you're doing. The fact that you're out there violating the vows of the marriage by disrespecting me, you need to stay out there, or you can have a place, because I'm about to bail out. I'm sorry, that's just me. But I know I'm radical. But let me tell you something.
But in the end, Dr. Walker, it's still your decision.
It sure is. Because people will stay into these fiery marriages. They will. They will. Now, what's worse? You staying in a sign marriage and you're out there tipping on your spouse, you know, just because of the convenience. And then, you know, either way, it could be a sin anyway. You know, you're going to stay in your marriage because, oh, I'm not giving that up. It's convenient. But you tipping out on your marriage. I heard a powerful story today. A powerful story. The lady said we got sick. And she's out there tipping out on him, breaking the man's heart because he can't perform. And then, but she's, because it's convenient, he has money, she stays in that marriage. You know, why not let him go? Let him go and be free. But you're breaking his heart by killing him. I mean, that is horrible. And you think that that's not going to come back to you? It's going to probably come to her and her children. You got to be careful out there, folks. You really do. Black Cowboy, you know, you're listening to us here, and you're only 20 years old. We're not trying to influence you, impact you, or anything. But you see how that decision of marriage, you see how marriage is, how important the decision that you marry somebody, because you won't know them until you live with them.
The word of the night is she be gone, but at the end of the day, no offense to you, Dr. Walker, but this new generation is different where we can have, you know, TV shows follow her, you know, if she really is doing that stuff. So, no.
Jesus, I know. Go ahead. I mean,
yeah, new generation. We have TV shows following you. Yeah.
Who wants that? Now your business is all over the nation. Jesus. You know, you've been, and listen, even with cheaters, when you're not caught your significant other cheating, you think they're giving up that person? No, they only signed that they got caught.
Well,
that's
sir,
all that is. It's like a few days, oh, baby, I love you, I want you back, I will never do this, I just got caught up for the moment. Listen, a few days goes by, you start, you know, you feel in your heart, oh, I want that again because I've tasted it. And you want that again. Stephen, talk to me. I mean, am I really, like, on another planet by myself?
Yes, sir. I feel like you are.
If you've tasted the unforbidden fruit, you're going to go back again and again and again.
That's what I'm saying.
All the time.
You're going to repeat.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
You like it. Yeah,
you like
that's going
to
happen.
You're only trying to appease that situation because you got caught on national television or the lady found you in a hotel with somebody. You're only trying to appease it. You're only trying to appease it temporarily because, listen, just like he said, when you taste that fruit, you want, especially if it was good, you want it again and again. Stephen got it right. You want it again and again and again and again.
Yeah,
Miss Shirley, I'm listening to you, man.
Well, I hear you guys, Dr. Walker. I hear you guys laughing when I said I'll have a TV show falling. But you gotta understand, your generation back then, you guys have sisters ready to fight. You know, like I'm messing with my brother. You know, this generation different. We have it cleaned out where we have TV shows out there to expose her. But you guys used to throw hands back then, you know, like, oh, my sister got this, you know. So thanks to the new generation, sir. Yes,
right,
sir.
You don't have to go to jail.
No jail time. But she going to be famous.
We won't get to the comments tonight, but I see the people on TV, like, oh, their heart is so broken. And I can... And, you know, you think you're going to change that man or woman's mind about that person that they're cheating with. Cheating is exciting to the people. Mm. It is. You get an adrenaline rush when you're cheating because it feels good. Because you got the high to do it. So,
well, how I feel, you say cheated, yeah, it is exciting,
But, you know, being exposed and the whole world knows your face, you're walking around in public, shopping at Publix,
exactly.
Walmart, you're going to want to change. Like, you're going to see a whole different person. I've changed people, so leave me alone. That's to that point. That's how it gets. You know, the beating doesn't work.
No. Unfortunately, listen, people only change when they desire to change. But, Stephen, I want you to jump in here. When it starts, that taste feels real good. That taste is good. It's like, listen, a man is not gonna look at another man. It's like, wow, man, you embarrassed. Blah, blah, blah. Stephen, is a man gonna look at another man and say, oh man, you green or whatever the language is they use out there? Like, that is Stephen, really? Is a man gonna judge another man in that capacity?
Not really. You know, they don't really. For judge another man, they might cheer him on.
Right, that's what they're gonna do.
Man, that's messed up. Disagree with y'all. That's messed up, man. Now, you can't do that to the male generation. You're making us look bad, Dr. Walker.
No. But I'm trying to tell you something. Black cowboy, listen to me. Even your generation of guys, they're no different. You know, it's just that you've been under your mama's wings, you know, like I was once upon a time. But let me tell you something. When you really discover what is happening out there, and I'm not saying it's right. You know, I'm not saying it's right. But guys are not really like, man, you, like Stephen said, they're going to be cheering you on like, wow, man, you cool. I want to be like that. But I'm saying when you out there like that, but it's not right. It's not right. I'm not saying that. I'm not encouraging that. But these guys are like, oh, I mean, you look at, for example, look at the news right now. All of the men that was getting accused, some of them of different ethnicities, of course, you know, listen, hey, we got a justice just the other day. After all the allegations, he still became the Supreme Court justice. Okay, I'm not here to be trial fight or anything. But it's national news, it's public information now, and I'm saying, hey, you know, none of them men sitting up there is judging that man because they got a closet. You know, I'm not saying them, but Stephen, talk to them.
Yep, they got a closet. All them men in power, that's all they do is, you know, they 99% of them do. You know, you might have one or two. But most of them do because that's part of warning power, to have the women, to have the money, to have the power to change things. That's what a lot of men want, that power. They've been craving it for centuries.
Okay, but back to the story, it was saying that he was okay for a little while, but then he went back to his old ways. So,
because he missed that. He missed that lifestyle, Michelle.
Dr. Walker, would you encourage him if he came to you, if this man came to you and say, you know, I got married and, you know, I said I was going to do right, but I just can't help myself. Would you tell him, go ahead on, brother? Would you say that to him?
Absolutely. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, let me just answer that question. We're almost out of time. But I would try to counsel him honestly from a spiritual and a practical perspective. You know, from a spiritual perspective. Listen, Ms. Shirley, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had an addiction to something? Like an addiction to something. Like it could be something sweet. It could be something. It could be shoes. It could be a cologne. It could be anything. Have you ever had an addiction?
I used to smoke. Yes, I used to smoke.
Was that hard to give up?
It wasn't for me. It all happened in one day. Just happened. I never had a cigarette afterwards. But
What made that? What came along to instantly make that change for you? Just briefly.
It wasn't recent. It was some years ago, almost 30 years ago. But that's when I received Christ. That's when I accepted the Lord. I'm telling you. My whole life changed drastically. I was smoking. I went to church that morning, and I had already smoked 3 cigarettes. When I came back home, I was done. I never had a cigarette since. And I was a totally different person.
And I want to get to Brad Cowboy before we go to give him the last word. We're really out of time. But I want to say that's where the change would come. I think that there's something that we have addictions to that we ourselves can't change. It requires prayer and fasting, and only God can make that change. Because can a leopard change his skin? And, you know, and I've had certain addictions out there, and I can tell you unequivocally that God can make a change in a person's life, even when all they got to do is desire to change. It may take a moment more than an overnight thing like it did from you, Miss Shirley. It was instant for you. But for some people, it takes a period of time for God to reform in your life when you're desiring to let him come in and make that change. Black Cowboy, you had a quick question, or I know you disagree with us, but go ahead. Give me the final thought.
Well, I like to say congratulations to her for quitting cigarettes 30 years ago. That's a big success. But I gotta disagree with you and Stephen Walker because, you know, your generation, I think you guys are still stuck in the past. You guys are saying, oh, men will come up and be like, oh, man, congratulations. But you got to understand, this generation now, you got females doing that too, you know? Mm-hmm. So you got females looking, like, I have females come up to me and say, hey, you're Black Cowboy from Instagram. Hey, she like you. Like, you want to hang out, you know? There's females that take pride over that nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not only a male thing. It's a every gender thing, you know? You know, females enjoy that. It's like, I seen homegirls clap up homegirls like, girl, you did that. Good job. Like, you know, and it's crazy, you know, like how time is changing and the future is going to be different. So.
Well, Black Cowboy, we can appreciate the fact that you disagree with us. And we can handle that. But I can tell you this here, as the world's changed, as the world turns, it's a different day. It's a different day. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The fact of the matter is, the girls were doing it back in our day. Stephen, tell him. It was the girls sometimes pushing up on the boys. Stephen, tell him. So he will know.
I had women pushing up on me. And they pushing up on men. They, you know.
No, you guys, man, we this generation, we have people promoted with cameras and technology. You guys, you don't have proof in it, so you can't. You don't have to say it, all right? You don't have proof. You don't have no proof, but verbal proof. I have social media proof. I have camera proof. Sir.
Yeah.
So you and Steven are disqualified from this for this moment. So next show, you guys can try to.
Black Cowboy, hey, let me help him out a little bit. Black Cowboy, let me tell you, all your generation now. You all have allowed, we're wise, we're so wise at this. You all have allowed the social media, listen to this just for a second. You've allowed the social media to let you all put your business out there. You know, listen, we were trying to be a lot discreet back in the time because we didn't want that stuff. But we know, listen, you won't find anybody of wisdom to put their business out there on social media. That's like, what generation in the world would expose themselves to something like that? But we're clearly out there. Black Cowboy, we're going to invite you back, and we want you to bring your generation versus the generation that we're going to talk about, the generation gap. All right?
This is war.
Stephen, tell him, Stephen, we're ready for that war. Stephen, tell him.
That's right. We're ready for it. Because all y'all doing, y'all don't even meet people. Y'all can be online for a whole year and not see a person, just talking online and social media.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, that it's less easier for us to get kidnapped. You guys get kidnapped back then for meeting people in person.
Listen, you all, your generation of Black Cowboy, you all don't even know how to communicate. Y'all sit down at the table and text each other sitting right there.
You guys used to mail stuff to each other. We don't do that, sir. We don't have to pay for postage, okay?
I'm out of time now, you all. Listen, I want to thank all of my listeners. Those of you all that sent you in your comments, we apologize. We weren't able to get to it tonight. I want to especially thank my featured guest for the evening, Ishmael, a.k.a. Black Cowboy. We certainly look forward to him coming back on with us when we talk about the generation gap. Michelle, we appreciate it. Steve, appreciate it. We're clearly out of time. Join us tomorrow for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Until tomorrow, until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless,
good night,
and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.